Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of June 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way today, we'll talk too with folks at the Andersons out of their Logansport facility in Indiana as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, and that involves you and your financial support. You can get started right now if you'd like by dialing in at this number, 217-244-9455.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check on this Wednesday afternoon the numbers in Chicago as they came in from the CME Group. Settlement prices like this: soft red winter wheat in the July contract at $6.14.5, up 2 cents for the day. December at $6.46.5, up a penny and a quarter. The hard red July up 5 3/4 as it finished the afternoon at $7.13.5. July corn down 2 cents at $4.56.25. December at $4.53.5, a settlement price 3/4 lower. And the March corn at $4.63.25, down 0.25 cents. May futures down 0.75 cents at $4.69.5. July of next year at $4.75.5, down 0.5 cents. July soybeans at $14.82.5, a penny and a quarter higher. August at $14.16.75, up 2 1/4. And September at $12.69.5, down 3 3/4 cents in the bean pit. November beans at $12.17.25, down 4 1/2 cents. And January futures at $12.23.25, 4 1/2 lower. March contract in the bean pit, $12.27.5, down 4 1/4 for the day. Bean meal at $4.96.50, down 3 10. Bean oil at $39.25. That finished the day 90 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the June contract at $138, finished 35 cents lower. The August, however, up a dime at $140.17.5. August feeders at $198.77.5 from the CME Group, 47.5 cents higher. And June lean hogs on the day at $112.55. They finished a dollar and a nickel lower. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. Nearby July at $102.46 a barrel, down 20 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.93.6. That's a penny and 2 cents lower. And ethanol futures at $2.21 1/10, down 8 4/10 cents. Natural gas at $4.64 2/10. Up a penny and 3 cents, and diesel fuel for the day at $2.85 1/10. That's a penny and 3 10/10 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,244 even, down 20 cents. And as we look at the weather forecast for the afternoon, we see that in the Urbana-Champaign area, we should go to a high of 77 degrees, 76 degrees outside our studios now, a 20% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms today. It'll be cloudy with a high of 79. Eventually, west-northwest winds at 9 to 13, mostly cloudy this evening, and a low of 55 degrees, and a north-northeast wind at 10 to 14, and Thursday, sunny skies and 76 degrees. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 56. Friday, mostly sunny, and a high of 78 degrees. On an east wind at 7 to 9 miles an hour. Friday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 59. And on Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms as they make our way into the weekend. Partly sunny and a high of 79 degrees. Saturday night showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy and 64. Sunday a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and 77. And mostly cloudy on Sunday. And a low of 58 on Sunday evening. Of course, we'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, from time to time, we do come to you and ask for your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming that comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. This is the last time for this fiscal year. I won't say it's the last time for this year because it's not, but our fiscal year ends pretty soon, Les Schulte. So we'll stay with that one. And we're trying to make our way towards a very large goal at the end of the year. Fiscal year, which closes out June 30th, and we want everything in the bank that we're going to spend for the next year. So all of that money needs to be there. We're not quite there, and we need our listeners' help, especially those who listen to the ag programming.
That's right, Todd. We want everyone who uses these services, programs, to step up and be counted right now. We're jump-starting our June because by the end of this month, we have to have all the money in the bank that we're going to spend the next fiscal year, which starts July the 1st. And so we do have a ways to go, but this Jumpstart campaign here, this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the air have been great.
Yeah, they've been really successful.
Been terrific. Yeah, people have been stepping up and making that call and making that pledge of support at 217-244-9455, or maybe going to the website, willag.org, and they can hit the pledge button right there on willag.org. Yeah, make thanks. Your contribution there. And we're just asking you to do what you can to support these services. If the agricultural services that you hear on WILL are important to you, then we ask you to just sort of do your part. Maybe you listen online, Todd. As you know, especially the Closing Market Report is one of the most listened to programs we have online, as well as being on the air. And so if that's the way you use the service, great. We appreciate it. Right now, take that moment and call 217-244-9455, or maybe online at willpledge.org or willag.org, whichever one is good. How much should you pledge? That's up to you. We really don't put a price tag on it. We do make a suggestion. Maybe $200 fits into your budget. You can put that on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. If you use these ag services in your business right now, help our business with your call and your pledge of support at 217-244-9455.
Hey, thanks so much, Les, for coming in. We'll talk with you again in a bit in the program, okay? That's Les Schulte, of course. He's here to have you dial a phone number, 217-244-9455, or to pledge online at willag.org. Hit the donate button in the red rectangle at the top of the page. It is the fourth day of June. This, of course, the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson to take up the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. And I'm encouraging everybody to also support the station. I'll tell you, with all the people I work all over the U.S., I don't think people realize what a gem they have at WILL.
Well, thank you so much. Dave and I do appreciate it. We work pretty hard, and I know you work really hard at it as well. There are some things I want to go through today as we look at what was kind of a quiet day in Chicago, but producers probably need to consider some things that will be coming up at the end of the month. Most of them will be talking about the acreage report. That's due out at the last of this month. And many are considering that, well, there might be some shifts in acreage. Can you go through some numbers that you have been figuring at this time?
Well, I certainly can, and it's probably the number one thing that we've been hearing all week is, well, you know, acreage is going to be down. Somebody's so-and-so said that we'll never find 90 million acres, we'll never have this, we'll never have that. So I took and looked at what are the most likely acres that might be switched either to prevented plant or to beans, and those would be acres that are in North Dakota, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin, you know, the northern tier. Basically, between those four states at this point in time, that's 2,083,000 acres is what it is. So, you know, if you take that off of the 91.7, that takes us down to the 89. And when you take that down, that's 89.62. You take that times harvested, now you got 82.6 million harvested acres. Well, over the last three crop years, those four states have averaged 131 bushel to the acre. North Dakota, 112, which we would expect about. Minnesota, 160. Michigan, 147. And Wisconsin, 141. Now, I know that these are a lot of numbers, and guys are going, well, so where are you going with this? Well, I'll tell you where I'm going with it. Currently, we're looking at a 13.935 billion bushel crop. And the USDA is saying 165.3. And guys are saying, well, you know, that's crazy. We're probably not going to make that. Well, if we take off the production from these four states off of these 2 million acres, which comes out to 273,918,400 bushels, that takes us down to a crop of 13,661 and change. So if you actually take that and divide that by 82.62, guess what our average ends up being? 165.35. Higher than where the USDA is at right now. And so, you know, I had a lot of guys saying, you know, we're going to get a lot less acres. Well, what if the USDA comes in? You know, we talked this morning about how good those eight major states are doing that represent 68% of our corn situation. You know, you look at that. What if the USDA raises the yield to 166.3 and we get rid of these 2 million acres? That still gives us a 13.7 billion bushel crop. And, you know, to get back to this, if we take those 2 million acres out, we'd have to average 168.7 in the U.S. But, you know, when you look at what the planting rate's been and the amount of moisture we've picked up, the bottom line to this whole thing, Todd, this is where I'm going, is you've got to be prepared because there is not a single person who ever goes broke on a higher price. And I think that the key is, you can't let the fear of leaving something behind on the board, cost you all your equity or your opportunity. And that's what we see so much. You know, I don't want to do this because I'm going to leave pennies back here, but we lose dollars on the other side. And so, you know, I'm a big proponent of options, and I use futures also. But at this very point in time, boy, if you haven't got something done, you better be looking at what you need to do, because to bank your entire income and your entire future for this next crop year on the idea that we're going to have less acres, yield is still the key.
So when you put that all together, are you expecting to cover how much of the crop? Just that which is not covered by crop insurance for corn, or do you have other ideas?
No, I have other ideas. I use more in the money options. You know, when you look at crop insurance, even at this point, you know, well, we're at 453.5. Now, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Right.
But, you know, in order to do something, I'd have to say at this point in time, you make sure that you at least have everything covered at the crop insurance level. You know, in other words, you'd have to do something that would be an in-the-money option. But the next step is take a look at December 15. December 15 today traded at 463.5 is where it closed. And, you know, guys are just plain not paying attention in some respects, because if we really do come in, and there was somebody who came out and said 15 billion bushel potential crop, if we would even come in at a 14.1 or 14.2, what might that do to next year's price? You know, and so I think that, you know, the key is And I have people who say, oh, you know, you're just plain bearish. No, I'm not. I'm a risk manager. And when I look at this and say, what is your risk, really? And if a person's honest with themselves, it's huge. Because we do have a crop that's growing, and I don't really care if we got some hail a few places or we got some heavy rains a few places. You can't make it on hope. And that's where a lot of guys are at this stage. And same thing with beans, you know. $12, I said it to you last week, I'll say it again. I still think a $12 sell is a pretty fantastic sell. I don't think you can do it in cash right now, but you could probably get close, but you need to do something.
It sounds better than 453.5 in December corn.
It sure does. And December corn's like 2 weeks ahead of beans, you know.
Yeah.
And so we've seen what's happened on the corn side. Don't think it can't happen. And, you know, a lot of guys have been saying, Todd, well, you know, look at what we got today. We got a big crop progress report. We got this. We didn't go down very much. Nothing. These guys are waiting to see what that end of the month report is going to say. And if you haven't taken care of yourself, and if you're not totally prepared before that end of the month report comes in, you could find yourself in a world of hurt and not sleeping at night. And it's just not worth that. You know, manage your risk. That's the name of the game.
How unusual do you suppose it would be for WASDE to change ending yield in the upcoming report for June? That would be very odd, I would think, but do you suppose they might do it?
You mean for new crop? For 2014-15? No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not odd at all. They wouldn't change acreage, but they could change yield. Oh, yeah, it wouldn't be odd at all, especially when you look at where the eight states are. You know, and so that is a great possibility. That's the thing I'm concerned about more than anything, because if we come in and okay, you know, if they pump it, half bushel or a bushel, I still think, you know, it won't get too bearish, but oh my goodness, if they would come in here and say, our models say with the way that these states are doing, we're probably going to pump it this much, it could really be a difficult situation all the way around. I mean, it comes down to being prepared. That's really what it comes down to. And like I said, nobody goes broke on higher prices. So, you know, you've got to make sure that you've got yourself in a good position to protect the downside.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time with us today, and we do appreciate all the work you do for us here at the radio station.
Oh, thank you, Todd, and good luck with the fundraising. I hope everything goes well.
It is, and it will continue to do so. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the closing market report on this Wednesday afternoon. It is the fourth day of June. If you have not dialed in yet, please do so at 217-244-9455. Listening online, then just simply go to willag.org if you're not already there and hit that red donate button at the top of the page. It's kind of an important thing to do, isn't it, Les Schulte?
It's very important right now because this is the final day of our June Jumpstart campaign. This is just to get June off to a great start because this is the end of our year. You know, maybe somebody's going, well, wasn't it just May a couple of days ago? How can it be December already? Well, we end our year in June, and a new year for us starts in July. And that means the money that we have in the bank, that's what we're going to spend on services and programs and things like that for another year. So if you appreciate the fact that we do have an extensive agricultural service, as Jackie was alluding to, not a lot of places have a service like Will Ag on their radio and then online. If you appreciate the fact that this is here for you, don't take it for granted. You know, I was just thinking about the things that Jackie was talking about. I mean, she was really putting some meat out there for people to chew on for your agricultural business. If you find yourself using this information and relying on this information, help support it right now with a pledge call at 217-244-9455 or going online at willpledge.org. Make a contribution in whatever amount fits into your budget right now. Maybe $200 fits in. That would go a long way towards helping to ensure the fact that these services will be here for you when we start our new year on July the 1st.
Hey, thanks so much, Les. Les Schulte, of course, helping us pitch for your need, your use, for your development, for you to dig into the back pocket a little bit and dial in with your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455. Speaking of meat on the bone, traders in Chicago have a better handle on a disease in the nation's hog herd. In a moment, I'll have more on why the price of pork is on the decline. A year ago, a new disease arrived in the United States. PEDV, or porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, was expected to kill about 10% of the baby pigs it infected. This number's correct. A hog herd infected by PEDV can expect a 10% death loss. The disease kills all the baby pigs born in a 4 to 5 week period after the first infection. And there's not a thing a farmer can do to stop it. Well, after that first infection, those numbers can get better, but death loss will still occur, say clinical veterinarians. This is just coming into the understanding of the trade, and so is a better handle on the spread of PEDV in the U.S. Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt says speculators who drove the hog futures in Chicago to new highs in the last year are now liquidating those positions as the impact has come into focus.
Now, markets have a better understanding that while PED virus certainly did its damage, death loss may have been over-anticipated in February and March, and producers have been able to compensate for a substantial portion of the lost animals by much higher weights.
There are still critical questions surrounding the disease that have to be answered, cautions Hurt. Things like, what were baby pig death losses from January through March that will determine July through September slaughter supplies? And will the impacts of PEDV or related viruses return next winter? Well, as it turns out, says the Purdue Extension Ag economist, the March hogs and pigs inventory count from USDA provided some reasonable estimates of the impact of death loss from PEDV.
USDA's inventory of pigs weighing 50 pounds and more that would have formed the bulk of the March, April, May supplies, they reported them down 3.6%, and the actual slaughter for these past 3 months has been down about 5.5%.
Producers are compensating for the smaller headcount with sharp increases in market weights. In January and February, weights were up about 2% above the average in the previous year. That is to say, once hog prices soared to record highs in February and March, producers reacted by increasing weights. In the month of May, live weights reached 4.7% above the weights in May a year earlier. Clearly, weights are substantially compensating for lower animal numbers, says Hurt.
For this year to date, the total number of hogs coming to market has been down 4%, but weights have been up 3%, meaning that the total supply of pork has only been down a modest 1% compared to the first 5 months of a year ago. The biggest declines in hog numbers so far this year were in the months of March, when we were down 7% on hog numbers, and in April, when slaughter was down 5%.
Well, slaughter numbers were down 4% in May. While there's always some questioning of USDA counts, the reasonable accuracy of the March report provides some added confidence in their numbers headed into the summer. That report suggests the number of pigs available for market in June, July, and August will be down about 4%. Assuming weights continue to be 3 to 4% higher, this implies pork supplies for the summer will be unchanged to down 1% relative to last summer. Such prospects are hardly a ringing endorsement, says Hurt, for super high prices of hogs. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line is Patrick Kaufman. He's at the Anderson's Logansport facility in Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Patrick. Let's take up the cash grain market. Farmers are stymied in the field at this point. Have they been calling you and asking what's happening in Chicago?
Sure, yes, they are. They're finishing up spraying and getting, for the most part, we're all done here on corn and finishing up a few, the last 5-10% of our beans. And over the last week, we've seen a setback fairly dramatically, and they're saying, now what? So I've got 30, 40, 50% of my new crop sales in place. What do we do now? We're extending some sales, so we're continuing to sell a little bit. I think the caliber of bullet that we're shooting at our sales has decreased, so we're making a smaller percentage sales moving forward. We're also selling some calls, extracting some premium out of the market, and telling the market, hey, come and get me. But between those two things in the corn market, there's a lot of thought producer-wise that, you know what, we've done enough for now. We see some large expectations of this crop, and it's still fairly early. So our cash grain tonight at Climbers is at 452.
All right. Hey, and your beans are what?
Delphi beans nearby 1527.
Hey, thanks so much, Patrick.
Thank you, Todd. Bye.
Patrick Kaufman, of course, is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers and Delphi Logansports area. Elevators there in Indiana joins us on the closing market report for this fourth day of June. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Applesauce Cake Day. The first references to applesauce appeared in late 14th century Europe. On this day in agricultural history in 1882, Henry Seeley of New York City received the first American patent for an electric iron. He called this device the electric flat iron. It used a carbon arc to create heat, but it was not all that safe. A decade later, hand irons using electrical resistance were introduced by Crompton and Company. In 1899, James Ricks patented a rubber overshoe for horses. The patent says the shoe prevents a horse from slipping in sleety weather and is applied over the horseshoe in common use. The shoe was formed from rubber and canvas and was fastened to the hoof by a strap. And in 1932, the Revenue Act created the first gasoline tax in the U.S., 1 cent per gallon of gas. The 1 cent rate was maintained till just before the U.S. entered World War II, when, as a result of increased national defense requirements, the tax was increased. Prior to the 1932 Act, there had been reluctance on the part of federal officials and Congress to impose the tax at the federal level. Instead, they preferred to relinquish the revenue source to the states to help them finance their revenue needs. By the way, Oregon was the first state to levy a gasoline tax in 1919. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. If you have not yet, please do dial in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. Make sure you tell them you're supporting agriculture. Speaking of which, on the phone line with us is Ag Meteorologist Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast.
Well, you know, it's getting to be that time of the year when some warm and humid conditions occur fairly often, along with constant opportunities for showers and thunderstorms to occur. And this particular year, we've got a very active jet stream right now, and that's going to translate into periods of rainfall for much of the Midwest over this next 10-day period. I think everybody gets rain at one time or another. There will be some locally heavy amounts of rain in the southwestern Corn Belt as we finish out this work week. Some areas in Kansas and Missouri are going to see some multiple inches of rain like we did last night across parts of Nebraska and Iowa over into northern Missouri and, of course, across central Illinois. We are going to see the eastern Midwest perhaps see a little bit less precipitation than the western Corn Belt for a little while, but that is all going to balance out in the wash. I think right now what we're doing is we're trying to fix the moisture deficits that have been present in the western Corn Belt for a while, and we're doing a very, very good job of that. Last weekend, of course, we had heavy rains in Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Last night we had heavy rains from Nebraska to Illinois, and then as we finish out this week, like I said, Missouri and Kansas will be involved. So everybody in the western Corn Belt will have an abundance of moisture as we go into the middle of this month, and that sets us up for some very good crop development, because later on in June, especially July, we'll probably have a ridge of high pressure over parts of the western Corn Belt, and all these areas that are getting the rain right now will be in good shape to continue normal development as we endure that period of warmer and drier weather. The eastern Midwest, in the meantime, in late June and July, will likely see an increase in precipitation again. So I think it looks pretty darn good for the growing season.
Yeah, the crops out here look pretty darn fine, I have to admit. Hey, I have one other question about this storm front that moved through the Midwest yesterday and then through the eastern Midwest and the Corn Belt today, this morning. How often do we get baseball-sized hail?
It's not all that common at all to see a baseball size. It tends to occur more in the high plains region where you get stronger temperature contrast to take place, which is what you need in order to really create the most violent thunderstorms. But apparently there was enough cool air aloft last night to really set off these thunderstorms and help them become mega storms, if you will, and just amazing. I haven't seen all the damage reports yet, but I'm sure there's quite a bit of it.
Now turn your attention to other parts of the world. How are things in China, parts of Asia, India, that is, and then Ukraine?
Well, it looks like most of those places are doing all right. Let's start with China. I don't see any huge issues going on in China right now. There's a little bit of dryness in their North China Plain, which is some of the winter wheat spruced up there, but they have quite a bit of irrigation available, so I doubt seriously dryness is much of an issue for that crop, and some of the corn and soybeans will be looking for some better drink of water here in the not-so-distant future, but I think they'll get it. A little bit coming up here in the next day or two. India, it looks to me like they are going to have a tough go of it for a little while. Their monsoon monsoon season normally begins on the 1st of June, and it's currently parked out over the Bay of Bengal, far away from the land, and it looks like it's going to stay stationary there for a while. So they're going to get late arrival of seasonal rains, and because of this developing El Nino event, they may end up with a drier than biased summer in general. And that could have a big impact on some of their crop areas down the road.
Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.